Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
No. No. We need Dirty Frank. Mark needs his walk-up music. Mark Grody's got to have his walk-up music. It's the only way it works. Mark?
Is that Metallica? Sounds very Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica.
Sick. I'm okay with Metallica. If I don't get my Dirty Frank yell, I'll survive. Yeah.
All right. Here is Metallica Mark right here.
I did see Metallica at Lollapalooza last year, so.
Do you still think James Hetfield looks like Mark McGuire? I always thought there was a similarity.
That's very good. He does. He actually does look like him. I met Hetfield in, God, was it? Yeah, it was San Francisco. San Francisco in 2016, doing Cubs pre and post. And it was awesome because, you know, that's one of those times that having to be at a ballpark 4 hours early was very helpful because there's Metallica just out there on the infield, or James Hetfield just warming up, got his guitar out there, talking to anybody who comes out there. So it was very cool. I like Metallica.
Was that a playoff game? Was that a playoff series? Maybe bringing out Metallica. Yeah, that's a playoff headliner.
It probably was the playoff series in San Francisco. It probably was that. Some of it blends so much, but the fact remains. I met. I will try to dig up that picture for everybody.
Did Ed, your buddy Ed, did he get mad? Ed, we don't want to upset Ed.
Ed never made the West Coast trips that I could recall. Ed was just present at Wrigley. Now there was the time. This was my favorite Eddie Vedder moment, even though I never saw Eddie Vedder. It was in St. Louis for the playoffs. St. Louis for the playoffs in 2015, and you know the traveling secretaries of the Cubs would always be very good at putting out all of the envelopes for everybody. When you arrive at a hotel, here's your envelope, here's your key, here's your card, here's, you know, whatever you need in that envelope. And they're all spread over this table and, you know, with all the Cubs players. And then there's Mark Grody's envelope right next to Eddie Vedder's envelope. And I'm like, yep, of course they put Eddie Vedder next to Mark Grody because, yeah, I'm sure that's the association. Big time rock star, little pregame host. Yeah. So, yeah,
okay.
It's been fun. Yeah. By the way, Steve, I should also announce to you that I am at Gene and Gary's right now at my parents'.
Oh, hi, Gene. Hi, Gary.
Yeah.
And Gary's not been sent to the Jewels by Gene.
Actually, he was at the Jewels when I arrived here. I was like, where's Dad? Is he taking a nap? No, he is at the Jewels right now. So, yes, he is back. We're doing work. We're prepping for a big Easter party tomorrow. So we're getting all the deck cleaned up and mopped and swept and the chairs cleaned and getting ready for an outdoor party tomorrow to celebrate the arrival of Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't know there hasn't been enough buildup. I didn't know that. Would you be doing the weekly show on the clock for Jesus if there were If that were like, is that what's supposed to happen?
You do? on the clock for Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, right. That's, you do on the clock for the Bears draft. I just thought on the clock is something that was malleable. It could be
on the clock is malleable. I know that's every Thursdays, man, 6 to 7. I don't know that Jesus could change that.
Well, okay, all right. Yeah. So how was your Seder this week?
Oh man, thanks for asking. The Seder was good. Went to my buddy Dorfman's.
Uh-huh. I know Dorfman. And,
yeah, you do know Dorfman. It was, this is great. This was the Seder. So Dan is Jewish. And if you couldn't tell.
Holding a Seder.
Yes. So I guess that should have been assumed. Dan is Jewish. There was one other Jewish lad there. And then two Catholics. It was four dudes, two Catholics and two Jews, and we had a Seder.
And so who was the youngest who had to read the four questions? Why is this night different from all other nights?
There was a guy there that edged me out by like a couple months who did. His name was Josh, if you care. So yeah. So Josh did that. It was great. I didn't understand. There was a big raw bone in the middle of the table. There was some
Paschal lamb, because that's what God told the Jews, to wipe the lamb bone on the door frame, and if there was blood on there, he would pass over their house, and then he would go to the Egyptians and take the lives of their firstborn male. Hence, we get the name Passover.
You know what? You just explained that better than anybody could at that party, even when it was Googled.
I just connected your dots, didn't I?
You did connect my dots. Now board my plane. Yeah, now I like go. Even Dorfman couldn't answer my question. The guy named Dorfman couldn't answer my question. Then he's telling me there's some Elijah character outside in the hallway, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And we're dipping crackers and sweet and salty, and but it was great. I do and here's the part. This is like overload. So getting ready today for Easter at 5 o'clock, I'm going to my friend Lisa's house. Mm-hmm. Who was also, you met Lisa at the Wilco concert.
Uh-huh.
She is hosting, she just converted from Catholic to Jewish. She is hosting another Seder tonight, which I will be attending at tonight.
I'm unfamiliar with Seders in the middle of the 8 days of Passover where all you eat is matzah. I have to warn you of this.
Okay.
It is one of the burdens of being Jewish. Your matzah intake will bound you up, and you might not get right for a month if you're going to eat this whole thing. If you're not going to eat nothing but matzah for a week until you can finally have leavened bread again, it's trouble, pal.
Well, okay, the good news is that, yes, there will be matzah. I assume there will be matzah ball soup tonight, but tomorrow, getting a sneak peek of what my mom is working up here, there will be a large ham involved in our Easter tomorrow. Apparently, there's a green bean salad on its way. My mom is making a pretzel jello, brownies, everything, lemon cake. So I think that I will be filled with Catholicism tomorrow. Judaism today, Catholicism tomorrow.
Look at Jean, the culinary machine. Look at her breaking it all out.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's cooking. I'm working. That's the way it's going today. I'm doing the heavy work outside, and Gare is helping out. He's doing more of the supervising at this point. But we've got a good system going here today. And I'm on my break right now, by the way. This is my 20-minute break. So
I hope we caught you during your break. So tell us about Rasheem Green. Tell us how he's going to turn things around for the Bears.
Oh, yes. This is the spark that they have been waiting for. What's been the reaction that you have felt for this?
Well,
game?
What I have felt is we've been asking people, because last week was National Joe Day, and I thought, who's the greatest Joe in Chicago history? And so I was going to ask you that, but that's been more of a it's resonated more than Rasheem Green. But I love the idea that he played in the toilet bowl game, the Bears Texans this year. He was signed as a free agent for the Texans. He played in the game, and he played 36 snaps, and he had half a sack and two quarterback hits. So he didn't suck against a Bears offensive line that sucked.
That's true.
I would have liked to have. I would have been terrified if they signed a guy who couldn't rush against the Bears offensive line.
That's an interesting parameter that you have used right there. I would probably prefer to look at his 17 career sacks okay. in his life when we want to actually look at the production from a defensive end standpoint. So I don't know. You really just start to put him in the bunch with the rest of the new guys, specifically DeMarcus Walker, the other defensive end who did have a career year with albeit 8 sacks last season. But, you know, he's a Rashim Green is a that's a competent football player, but certainly not a game changer in really any way, shape or form. I mean, this is a former, you know, third round pick who will, you know, is now on his third team overall. So it's not a bad addition. You know, it's fine, but it doesn't change the game any. This is not the dynamic playmaker that you're looking for yet.
And that would seem to be target number one in the draft. I mean, if not that three technique, then somebody who eats quarterbacks for a living. So I was going to, if they get to number nine, they still have the pick. Do they draft the best local kid available the way Ryan Pulse is going? And is that is that Lucas Van Ness? He might be the best local kid available if Skoronski's not there.
Right. Well, here's the things that I've been hearing about Lucas Van Ness. Some of which I'm sure people know, and that is that, you know, at Iowa he played all over the line. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously capable of playing interior. I think he is best suited to be, coached as a defensive end edge rusher at the NFL level. One thing that I was told though about Lucas Van Ness was, we have to decipher between how good is this guy because, you know, it didn't show up a ton in college, but or is this the workout warrior? Is this the combine guy that opens his, oh, man, we got to have this guy because mm-hmm. of the physical abilities. And look at the guy in the workout room. And I am not questioning his desire in any way, shape, or form. It's not even my point. My point is I was just told just be careful. Just look at – remember that part of it, that this is a guy who, you know, is, in terms of athleticism and the incredible numbers and things like that, he opened some eyes. You know, the most fascinating part about Lucas Van Ness is that he played hockey growing up, and he said that he credits a lot of his work as a hockey player for some of the balance that he had. And obviously growing up around here, growing up in Barrington, as you mentioned. So interesting guy. I did talk to him at the NFL Combine a little bit. Yes, big dude, seems like a baller. But, you know, and that shouldn't be the overwhelming takeaway, what I said. That's just sort of the other side. Just, I think he's really good. I wouldn't mind if the Bears took him at 9, but there is that little caveat. Be careful that he's not just the guy that, you know, jumps out of a pool like Jerron Gilbert once did for the Chicago Bears.
You know, and it's a worthwhile caveat with everybody in every round. It's not just the, you know, in the underwear Olympics and the workout warriors, that's where
they're
trained to master the specific drills at the combine.
Yes.
That's why you have tape and you should rely on, can the guy play football at that position or not?
That's such a great take there by you. Exactly. I mean, because that this is what these guys were. It's their life. When they go to the combine, they have personal trainers. They have, you know, guys who can mimic exactly what they're going to be asked to do. And yes, there are some guys who are just going to straight up master the workouts. Lucas Van Ness did, and that doesn't mean anything about, you know, how good he is skill-wise. I think he is, but it's just something to keep in mind as we all continue to be very excited about that name, Lucas Van Ness.
My guest is Mark Rohde. He's talking Bears football here on The Score every Thursday leading up to the draft, which will begin on Thursday the 27th. Mark Rohde hosts a one-hour show. So before I don't want to let you go yet, but I did not want to forget to ask you what you're doing this Thursday.
On the clock. Okay.
I mean, you're all over the radio. You're guest host. You'll be soon. You will be. You'll see. Last week he's in for Spiegel, and he's soon. And then he was in for Mully, and I think next week he'll be in for Haw. And I think now he's going to be in for himself. I think you will be subbing for yourself at some point. That's
yeah,
how it works.
Thursday on the clock. We don't know yet. We have not planned the show as of yet. We don't know who our guest is. We usually like to wait a couple days before just because of how dynamic the draft has been. You don't know what's going to change. You don't know what's going to be relevant. But I can guarantee you this, Steve. I'll be talking Bears and the draft on the clock this Thursday from 6 to 7. And I can tell you, too, I don't know, they might have even already run during your show today. I'm doing these draft reports every single day just leading up to the draft, and you could hear them periodically throughout the day on the score. And like I said, they may pop up on the show that you're doing right now. I don't remember what I did for today, but it's running.
That's great. I did. Who can keep track when you don't know whether you're going to a Seder or an Easter service?
Well, I was told to do two reports yesterday. So, and I produce these all myself. I got sound from, my work at the combine. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. But I had to put two together yesterday, send them in. So I don't know what's playing, what's not playing, when it'll play. I just do what I'm told to do. That's all.
That's it. There you go. Well, so I'll say this for Ryan Poles. He knows where good football players are. He looks at teams that win national championships. He says, ha, Georgia, let's go there. So Nolan Smith, an edge rusher from Georgia. So you got a good program. You got a guy who knows how to win, has been part of it, and a guy who chases quarterbacks. You're bringing him here. So the same school that produced Jalen Carter. And Jalen Carter's still out there. I have a point about Jalen Carter is the Athletic reported that the Raiders crossed him off the board. They don't have him on their list. They won't take him at 7th overall. Man, when the Raiders won't touch you, how far have you fallen? So whatever you heard about Jalen Carter, who would have been a perfect number one pick if he hadn't lied to police and gotten involved in racing and been in all that. And what do you know? What can you tell us? How do you see Nolan Smith and his draft status playing out?
I like Nolan Smith a lot. I mean, there's a few edge rushers I like, but we'll focus on Nolan Smith out of Georgia, 6'3", 235. He's very versatile, which you like to hear and about guys in the modern age on the, playing edge and, being able to move around and come at the quarterback from different positions. Very good in the run game, too. That's another thing. And I know that people don't necessarily need to hear that, but just for whatever it's worth. And he was the number one overall recruit in 2019. So Nolan Smith out of Georgia, big time prospect who, quite frankly, he would fit in fine with the Bears. Tyree Wilson, whose stock is just shooting, has just shot up.
Boy, yeah.
Man, right?
Yeah. Did anybody know
nobody was talking about Tyree Wilson before the combine. You have Senior Bowl guys that rise from the Senior Bowl. You have guys from the combine that rise, and Tyree Wilson, man, he and I'd say C.J. Stroud really made big time. Lucas Van Ness was another guy who everybody got to know about at the combine too. So I was love those guys. That's why the early mock drafts just never work, that's why everybody does like three or four, because the first one you do, you're going to tear up, because we just learn so much. I mean, I learn something every day. I mean, I learn when I do my On the Clock show about, about guys that we're not even necessarily talking about a lot. Like, for instance, on the offensive line, we've heard all the names, but how about some guys like Cody Mauch out of North Dakota State, 6'6", 203, came to North Dakota State as a 221-pound tight end before bulking up to over 300, and it is believed that he could be a starting tackle in the NFL. I did talk to one guy yesterday who said, no way Cody Mauch is a tackle, that he's more of an inside guy. So you do have disagreements from scouts on players like that, but he's kind of a wild card. Darnell Wright out of Tennessee is a guy that has been mocked to the Bears, 6'6", 335. And you might know this already, Steve, but Darnell Wright's claim to fame on the offensive line is that he had a great performance against Alabama's Will Anderson, who I don't think is a guy the Bears are going to be able to touch. And then the last guy I'll just give you two, just from getting these from the Senior Bowl, Blake Freeland from BYU, another huge guy, wide zone tackle, who I don't think is a first round dude, but let's not forget the Bears do have a couple of second round picks. They do have a third round pick as well, and that's where somebody like Freeland would probably fall as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much to learn, and I'm just from talking to people, I'm learning stuff every day. But I do like that you're on the bandwagon for – you're pretty decisive about wanting an edge rusher, aren't you?
Well, I want someone to destroy quarterbacks wherever sure. it comes from, because that's – even ideally, a three technique, ideally it would have been Jalen Carter. But it seems untouchable now. And depending what you're yeah. – how much you can tolerate potential – having to post bail in addition to signing to a contract, and whatever you can trust him for. I don't know. You have to do a deep dive in his makeup and do your due diligence. But if you get a guy who destroys quarterbacks, I'm good with that, because I think that makes your offense better as well as your defense better. And that was missing. Your secondary is going to be so good if that guy is destroying quarterbacks.
That's true. One, you know, one helps the other. You know, the Jalen Carter stuff, obviously I'm worried about, you know, the mentality of somebody who participated in what he did with the reckless driving, ultimately a misdemeanor and all that. But honestly, man, if we're just looking at this from a football perspective, what freaked me out more than anything was the pro day and his workouts, where, you know, and understandably, like, it's not like I don't understand why he's gained weight or lost a step recently, but that's the stuff, man. Because, like, if you're going to take a chance on a guy that has a
fitness problem.
Well, if he has the past that he has, he damn well better be fit, at least. He damn well better be able to come out and start day one. You don't want to have, like, if you draft Jalen Carter, you don't want questions every day and even leading into the season about, is he in shape? Is he ready? Did he already lose this? Like, you don't want to take 7 games in a season to get Jalen Carter going. So, look, if you're going to have problems with the police, at least come in shape. And right now, that's not that is the issue for Jalen Carter. That's it, right?
By the way, you're right. It is. Like, has he finished any of those drills yet? Has he gotten? I just wonder how long that. So, by the way, the Lucas Van Ness story you brought up, I hadn't made the connection until you brought it up the way you did, that he played hockey and then he got big and he wanted to play football. You know who else that profile fits? J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah.
J.J. Watt. The whole family was going to play hockey. But playing travel hockey when you're good and big required a lot of money. They didn't have it. Here, go play football. Go hurt some people. And that was the J.J. Watt profile.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness was a defenseman. He was. I did ask him straight up, are you a big Blackhawks fan? This was right after Kaner had gotten traded to New York. So he was like, yeah, wasn't too happy to see Kaner go. And I love those Blackhawks teams and all that. And we, of course, had to ask him, you know, did you get in lots of fights? And he said, no, it wasn't really allowed. So, but he did get a ton of penalty minutes, and he felt like he was being zeroed in on just because he was the biggest guy on the ice.
Yeah, he would have been a Barrington Zdeno Chara. He would have been that guy, just this massive guy in a long reach. And, yeah, I would say that he'd be like a transformer out there. He would scare the snot out of people. All right, so we have another web poll about my rapper name. And so the reigning champ, Dr. Dreidel, is up against Post Shalom.
Oh!
So you tell us how you'd vote, and then Caesar will tell us the way it's going on our web poll and on our Twitter site, 670 The Score.
So, and this also means that my original favorite, Chance the Rabbi, was taken out, apparently eliminated.
By Dr. Dreidel, yeah.
Oh, okay. So Dr. Dreidel beat Chance the Rabbi, even though Chance the Rapper is my neighbor. Okay. All right. I mean, that hurts.
Wow.
That hurts. That does hurt. I mean, he is my neighbor. But anyway.
I know. I know. You're a wonderful passive aggressive.
All right. So, yeah, isn't that great? So Chance, not Chance the what are the two again?
Dr. Dreidel.
Dr. Dreidel. They don't like spin off the tongue here.
Yeah,
Dr. Dreidel.
Dreidel spins. Yeah, it does.
Yes, Dreidel. Dr. Dreidel.
Or Post Shalom.
You know what? Here's the thing. I do love Post Malone. Like, how can you not like Post Malone? Because he just puts out good music. Mm-hmm. So that will be Smoke Fallon. What is it again?
Dr. Dreidel or Post Shalom. Last week we did Shalom. Biggie Smalls. Biggie Smalls lost Dr. Dreidel.
All right. I will decisively go with Post Shalom.
All right. So where
that's
does
my
he,
vote.
Where does that vote go, Caesar? Update.
Do you need me to do you want me to get on Twitter and vote? If you'd like me
no,
to do that,
that's okay.
I can. This is not a Twitter poll?
It is a Twitter poll, yeah. It's a Score Twitter poll.
Okay.
At then Score's website. Score at 670 the Score, and we have our web poll.
Man, you've really made this show big. I mean, like the big voice guy talking about Saturday suckage. You've got web polls.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something.
This is all Back to the Future. So, Caesar, tell us. Caesar?
Right now.
Caesar?
So, right now, it's getting closer closer by the minute. Right now, Post Shalom is holding at 60, but Dr. Dreidel's coming up at 40%.
Post Shalom is. You know what it is about Post Shalom? It's just fresh. It's new.
It's fresh.
It's new. And did you guys come up with that, or was that a listener?
No, a 262 texter said, do the. I said, yeah, I'm with
nice
you.
Job.
Yeah.
Nice job. Nice job, 262.
All right, so I'll let you get back to whatever Gene Grody has for you and all of
does,
your
does Metallica does Metallica have any Jewishness to it?
Sure, yeah. Manischewitz Talica. Well, that's where it's going to go. And so when you're done, I'm going to come back with a story. There's a grobber story
what?
Out there that I'm going to pay off. And we followed this along, and I'm going to pay it off.
All right.
That'll lead off our cultural zeitgeist. So say hi to Gene.
I will.
And Gary, when he gets back from the jewels.
He's back. He's back.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
Yes. Yes.
Good Easter. Have a good Seder. Have your ongoing.
Huh?
Your ongoing.
I'm coming. Yeah. I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
There.
Settle down. I'm coming. All right. I got to go.
Thanks. Smart Grody. On the clock, Thursday at 6 o'clock on the Score. That's his. He's leading up to the Bears draft. We'll take a break when we come back. I'm going to pay off a grobber story. There's a famous piece of hardware, and somebody else owns it. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
To follow up, we were talking about Mark Grody at the end. 916 had an idea for a band named Jewtalica. How's that? How you fix for that? And 608 had a name, Menchtalica. Those are both really good. Thanks for playing our game. So now Mark will know as he heads to his Seder Easter. Here's your Tiger update. Here's your Masters update. Tiger bogeyed 14, left him at plus 5. It began raining at Augusta. It has not stopped, but play has. Play has stopped in the Masters because of rain. Coverage of the Masters on the Scores presented by the BMW Championship, hosted at Olympia Fields Country Club this August. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Thanks for joining me. We had followed this story in our cultural zeitgeist. It made an appearance or two previously. You might remember Paul Konerko offered Les Grobstein a blank check for his recorder, his cassette recorder, his tape, and that old battered microphone that he used for the Lee Elia interview, the famous Lee Elia interview. Caesar, do we have that as long as you're playing sound here? I'll vamp and you can find it. The famous Lee Elia interview. And Les would carry that around. And at some point, Paul Konerko said, here's a blank check. I want that. You fill in the amount. And Les said, no, Les would not sell it. Les passed on, and I'm not sure who put it up for bid, but it went up to bid at Bullock Auctioneers, and it sold. The top bid that I could see on the website is $1,800, and they're known by you know, at an auction, you hold up paddles and nobody knows who you are unless you know the face or you touch your nose. You hold up a paddle going here, going there. The bidder was D asterisk, 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 asterisk M. And that was the bid was $1,800. That appears to be the top bid. That appears to be the winning bid. And you are the owner of a piece of Chicago sports history. Coming up, actually, I won't be on the air, and I love playing this, but the 29th of April, so we are approaching this, will be the 40th anniversary. April 29th, 1983, Lee Elia, he uttered the tirade heard round the world, or at least round the city, and round for 40 years. The tirade was captured by one man, Les Grobstein, with one piece of hardware, that cassette recorder, and the microphone. And you were bidding on the microphone, the recorder, and the tape that he used 40 years ago. And there was a transcript of the transcript of the tirade. And it went for $1,800. The whole thing, you bid on it, $1,800. Somebody owns all of that. And you get the chance to hear Lee Elia in perpetuity say this.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My ass. What the am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people to show up? The don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out and earn a living. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here. The playground for the rip them like the players. Got guys busting their ass and other people too. And that's because my ass. They talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year. The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the job done. Right now, we have more losses than we have wins. The changes that have happened in the Cub organization are multifold. All right, they don't show because we're 5-14. And unfortunately, that's the criteria of them dumb 15% that come out to date baseball. The other 85% are earning a living. It'll take more than a 5-13 or 5-14 to destroy the makeup of this club. I guarantee you that. There's some pros out there that want to play this game. But you're stuck in a stigma of the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cardinals and all that sheep. All these editorials about say and the Philly-itis and all that shit, it's sickening. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's a disheartening situation we're in right now. 5-14 doesn't negate all that work. Got 143 games left. What I'm trying to say is don't rip them guys out there. Rip me. If you want to rip somebody, rip my ass. But don't rip them guys because they're giving everything they can give. But once we hit that groove, it'll flow. And it will flow. The talent's there. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. I'm frustrated. I'll guarantee you I'm frustrated. It'd be different if I walked in this room every day at 8:30 and saw a bunch of guys that didn't give a shit. They give a shit, and it's a tough National League East.
Lee Elia, the famous tirade, captured by Les Grobstein. You get the tirade. A bidder has gotten the tirade, the microphone, the tape itself, and the recording device, the recorder. in an auction for $1,800. Less is history. We were talking about the Masters earlier, and we were talking with Mark Rohde about his Seder on Wednesday. Well, the Masters had a Seder too, sort of. They have a meal. They have the Masters meal where all the past winners show up, and the reigning champion gets to choose the menu. So, Scotty Scheffler had this menu among the delectables. Cheeseburger sliders. It says served Scotty style. I don't know what Scotty style is. Caesar, do you know what Scotty style is? No. Firecracker shrimp. That would be a try. Tortilla soup. Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish. And warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. You ever had one of those, Caesar? No. Ron, you can't nod your head. We're
no,
on the radio.
Sorry, I'm trying to read what the Scotty style is, so I got a breakdown of it right here. So it looks like...
probably spicy.
It has one extra element besides the usual lettuce, tomato, onion, and pickle. Just fries. Basically, he just puts fries on top of his burger, not on the side. You're just eating fries right along with the burger, pretty much, is pretty much what I'm looking at here.
Oh, well, they do that in Pittsburgh. They put the fries in there and the whole thing. I've done that with, I took latkes.
You ever been to Gene and Jude's? They put the fries right on the hot dog, just like that too, for a hot dog.
There you go. They're in the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. My friend Bobby Pastrami wrote the book, Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog. And they're in the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, Vienna Hot Dogs has a Hot Dog Hall of Fame, and they're inducting, it might have already happened. I knew they were inducting Dengio's, but yes, Gene and Jude's was there.
Yeah, so I'm watching a video here. It's pretty much it. They just basically just throw the fries right on top of the burger for you, and that's Scotty style, apparently.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that's what they were serving at the Masters Seder. Excellent. Birthday in our cultural zeitgeist, and this is, please tell me you know who Francis Ford Coppola is, Caesar. I'm having trouble getting with Tyler Farengel here before, and it suddenly became 3 weeks of what does Tyler know, what doesn't Tyler know, what does he think he gets out of, and you're allowed to learn history, so... do you know who Francis Ford Coppola is? Let's start there, Caesar.
The movie maker, yes.
The movie maker? Oh, my God. You really don't know, do you? You don't. Don't lie to me.
I'm pretty sure from what I know, he's a director, a movie director, isn't he not?
Oh, yeah, a movie director, sure. And like saying Marlon Brando was just an actor. Francis Ford Coppola directed The Godfather and Godfather 2. That's Francis Ford Coppola. And it was under such fire to get it done, Paramount. But one of the things that Francis Ford Coppola, he turned 84 on Friday. One of the things he did was he let him improvise. So you're going to lie to me. I can't even trust you now, Caesar. Leave the gun, take the cannoli?
Yeah, that's Godfather.
Right. Thank you. I said that. That's Clemenza. That's ad-libbed. That's improvised. It was not written. Leave the Gun was written. But Clemenza, the actor, real. He had said to have real mob ties. He ad-libbed that. Leave the Gun. Take the cannoli. That's what he... the scene where Johnny Fontaine... The loose portrayal of Frank Sinatra going to see his godfather, and he's sitting on the desk crying about a movie role, right? And what happens?
You're going to be a man is what you're going to do. And he grabs him and he starts shaking him.
No, he slapped him.
Oh, he slaps him. He slaps him, yeah.
That was improvised. Marlon Brando just slapped Johnny Fontaine right there.
That kind of explains, of course, you've seen it numerous times, but Johnny Fontaine almost starts laughing almost when it happens. Like, if you look at him, he almost breaks into laughter because he's so shocked by Brando doing that.
Yeah, they just...
going out of script and everything.
Coppola let the camera roll. And the scene at the wedding when the FBI guys were out there and they had cameras in there, right, in the cars, and the James Caan ad-libbed that. Took the camera, break the camera, throw the money down. That was, and Coppola let it all go. It's wonderful. All right, we will take a break before we get to the end of this version of Saturday Suckage, and I'll tell you about the best thing I saw this week. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Stevie Suckage here. About to close this up. I wanted to share with you the best thing I saw this week. It's about Lisa Polk and Kevin Fuller. About a year and a half ago, they're White Sox fans. White Sox season ticket holders, known each other about 20 years. And there's rain there, and these two are chatting under the 300 level concourse, on the concourse and covered. And Lisa Polk mentions she's got a health problem. She has a kidney disorder. She's going to start dialysis. She says she's type O, O positive. And Kevin Fuller says, me too. And Lisa Polk says, I don't suppose you'd love to give me a kidney. You got a spare one, do you? This is from a story Adriana Perez wrote in the Tribune. And Kevin Fuller did some checking, went through his compatibility test and said, yeah, in fact, I do have a kidney I will give you. And the critical part of this is the idea of a living donor, because a kidney from a cadaver has got very low chance of success. So she needed a live kidney transplant. He was offering it. They were back together at the White Sox home opener Monday, dating Harold Baines, who went through heart and kidney transplants. And it was all part of this kind of survivor gifts. I mean, you heard for years, Ed Farmer, look, be an organ donor. Donate your organs. People need them. And Ed would speak to it. He could speak to it personally about organ donations, kidney donations. So Lisa Polk got a new kidney. Kevin Fuller, her someone who had a season ticket near her, gave it to her. And it's one of the best stories I've ever heard of. This is baseball fandom at its best, and having a heart about kidneys. And the surgery was performed last September, and they made an appearance at Living Donor Day, and there they were, White Sox season ticket holders, and there's White Sox legend Harold Baines, who needed, like I said, heart and kidney transplants last year. That was the best thing I saw. I love that story, and I thank Adriana Perez for writing about it, and I'm glad they talked. You know, I'm glad that Lisa Polk and Kevin Fuller talked, and nice to have a happy ending for a story like that. Speaking of happy endings, Caesar, before we go, do we have an update on our web poll at 670thescore.com? It'll continue on even after the show is over, but we are asking at 670thescore.com, our Twitter page, we're asking you to vote on our web poll.
It looks like you're going to have a new name going forward, Steve. Because
my new rap name was my old rap name.
61.3, and Dr. Dredo is at 38.7.
Wow, Post Shalom making a big showing. That's excellent. And we started the show. I mentioned that last week I didn't get to it because I suck. National Joe Day last week. And who's the most famous Joe in Chicago? And we mentioned a lot of names. We went back to Joe Tinker, Joe Jackson, Joe Pepitone. We included Joseph, Joel's, Jody's, Joe Kim. So we had Joe Kim Noah. We had Jody Davis. And I still think that Maggie Hendricks voted about 800 times for that one. But I got to tell you my favorite. And we started off with Joe Maddon, recency bias, but he won a World Series. He broke. So you have the Joe Tinker to Joe Maddon connection, right? 108 years till you got another Cubs World Series. But I think the best Joe is Joe Mantegna. Joe Mantegna wrote Bleacher Bums, Cub fan forever, a tremendous actor, tremendous. And he did a terrific Dean Martin in the Rat Pack, HBO Rat Pack movie. And he smoked cigars. Joe Mantegna, man after my own heart. All right, the music's here. I want to thank everybody. Megan Montemurro, Scott Merkin, Cody Westerlund, Mark Grody, Gene and Gary having their Easter presentation. And then he'll go to yet another, his daily Seder. Cesar Perez, back again. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to everybody for listening. Join me on Saturday Suck. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.